Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. The European Union may join the call for installing multinational troops in southern Lebanon. Officials say the EU will push for an international force to help disarm Hezbollah following a ceasefire declaration with Israel. The EU foreign policy chief plans to recommend the deployment at a conference in Rome tomorrow. Before leaving for the meeting, he said any international force for Lebanon should represent a broad sweep of nations to generate the widest possible support. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will be among the ministers from 18 nations and international organizations talking about ways to try to end the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah. Meanwhile, United Nations Observer Post was hit by an Israeli airstrike in South Lebanon today, killing some UN peacekeepers. A bomb directly hit the building in a town near the Israeli border with Lebanon. A senior Hezbollah official today said his group never anticipated that the capture of two Israeli soldiers would lead to the fighting in Lebanon. But the deputy chief of the Hezbollah Politburo says they will not lay down their arms. Some of Israel's strongest attacks in days hit Beirut today with strikes on what Israel says were 10 buildings housing members of Hezbollah. An Israeli army commander says ground troops plan only to encircle Lebanese towns and villages near the border and do not plan a push deeper into Lebanon. George Bush today assured Iraq's prime minister that America will not abandon his country, but sectarian violence in Baghdad is still a serious concern. So Bush says U.S. military police now in other parts of Iraq will be heading to Baghdad. An estimated 100 people a day are being killed in the Iraqi capital. The Iraqi leader also insists he's determined to defeat terrorism. Nouri al-Maliki says his government will face the challenges. Investigators looking into the capsizing of a tour boat that killed 20 elderly people says that it was overloaded. The Ethan Allen sank last October on Lake George, New York State. At a hearing today, a National Transportation Safety Board investigator said there were simply too many people on board. 48 were on Ethan Allen. It was certified to carry 50, but that was according to weight limits that have since been revised because Americans are now generally heavier than when those rules were written in the 1960s. The NTSB also thinks one or more waves from other boats probably knocked the boat over. This is Air America Radio News.
U.S. and Iraqi forces will secure individual neighborhoods as Iraqi citizens help them root out those who instigate violence.
Instigate? Hey, truth seekers. Good evening. My name is Mike Malloy. This is, of course, Air America Radio. Bush, George W. Bush, you know, your president, met with the Iraqi prime minister, Maliki, today. So you know what that means. We have moron sounds for you on the program tonight. Chucklenuts had a Karl Rove word list and a bottle of Halcyon, so he was ready to rock and roll, but even with a detailed script, he still sounded like an imbecile. And Condoleezza Rice, well, she stopped in Ramallah long enough to change her shoes and catch her breath before jetting off to another war-torn city, and then on to Rome. We have some breathless sound from her whirlwind death and destruction tour for you as well. Lots of fun and frivolity on the program tonight. I also have here in front of me a letter that was written and signed on July 19th, last Wednesday. It is a letter from Noam Chomsky and others on the recent events in the Middle East. This is prior to the invasion. It was subsequent to the invasion of Lebanon, but it concerns the invasion of Gaza. This is what it says. The latest chapter of the conflict between Israel and Palestine began when Israeli forces abducted two civilians, a doctor and his brother, from Gaza. An incident scarcely reported anywhere except in the Turkish press. The following day, the Palestinians took an Israeli soldier prisoner and proposed a negotiated exchange against prisoners taken by the Israelis. There are approximately 10,000 of them in Israeli jails. That this so-called kidnapping was considered an outrage, whereas the illegal military occupation of the West Bank and the systematic appropriation of its natural resources, most particularly that of water, by the Israeli Defense Forces is considered a regrettable but realistic fact of life, is typical of the double standards repeatedly employed by the West in face of what has befallen the Palestinians on the land allotted to them by international agreements during the last 70 years. Today, outrage follows outrage. Makeshift missiles cross sophisticated ones. The latter usually find their target situated where the disinherited and crowded poor live, waiting for what was once called justice. Both categories of missiles rip bodies apart horribly. Who but field commanders can forget this for a moment? Each provocation and counter-provocation is contested and preached over, but the subsequent arguments, accusations, and vows all serve as a distraction in order to divert world attention from a long-term military, economic, and geographic practice whose political aim is nothing less than the liquidation of the Palestinian nation. This has to be said loud and clear, for the practice, only half declared and often covert, is advancing fast these days. And in our opinion, it must be unceasingly and eternally recognized for what it is and resisted. And it's signed Tariq Ali, John Berger, Noam Chomsky, Eduardo Galeano, Naomi Klein, Harold Pinter, Arundhati Roy, Jose Saramago, Juliana Segrena, and Howard Zinn. And you can get a copy of this at truthout.org, and you can put your name on it also if you like. Print off a copy and keep it. William sent an email. Mike enjoyed, if I should use that word, your show the other night and the revelation of the use of Willie P, it's white phosphorus, by the Israelis. Her comments are on the mark. Well, what is happening with the Israeli Well, what is happening with the Israelis in Fallujah is bad enough. Do you have the stomach for this? Washington has used at last count over 2,000 tons of depleted uranium weapons on Iraq and Afghanistan. We have literally nuked their countries. While you have seen pictures of children in Lebanon dying of white phosphorus exposure, have you seen pictures of children being born in Iraq and Afghanistan with radiation exposure? I have. And it is nauseating, galling. Further, many of our troops are coming home with radiation poisoning. This is the larger part of what is known as Gulf War Syndrome, along with PTSD. Signed, William. Yeah, what does constitute a war crime? Is George W. Bush and his father and possibly Bill Clinton guilty collectively of war crimes against the Iraqi people for the use of depleted uranium? Yeah. I guess I'm not trying to hedge here, but I know that the attacks against Iraq continued during the Clinton years, eight years of Clinton administration, and I would assume that depleted uranium was used during those 8 years also. So you have Bush 1, Clinton, and Bush 2. Now, what has that resulted in? Well, the Australian newspaper in today's edition has the following. Nobel Peace Laureate Betty Williams displayed a fat flash of her feisty Irish spirit yesterday, lashing out at U.S. President George Bush during a speech to hundreds of school children. Campaigning on the rights of young people at the Earth Dialogues Forum being held in Brisbane, Ms. Williams spoke passionately about the deaths of innocent children during wartime, particularly in the Middle East, and lambasted Mr. Bush. Ms. Williams, who is 64, said, quote, "I have a very hard time with this word nonviolence because I don't believe that I am nonviolent. Right now, I would love to kill George Bush," end quote. Her young audience at the Brisbane City Hall clapped and cheered. She went on, quote, "I don't know how I ever got a Nobel Peace Prize, because when I see children die, the anger in me is just beyond belief. It's our duty as human beings, whatever age we are, to become the protectors of human life," end quote. Ms. Williams was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize 30 years ago when she circulated a petition to end violence in Northern Ireland after witnessing British soldiers shoot dead an IRA member who was driving a car. He veered onto the footpath, killing two children from one family instantly and fatally injuring a third child. Ms. Williams' petition had tens of thousands of Protestant and Catholic women walking the streets together in protest. Now the former office receptionist heads the World Centers of Compassion for Children International, a nonprofit group working to create a political voice for children. On a recent trip to Iraq, Ms. Williams said, quote, "My job is to tell their stories," end quote. She went on, "We went to a hospital where there were 200 children. They were beautiful, all of them, but they had cancers that the doctors couldn't even recognize. From the first Gulf War, the mother's wombs were infected. As I was leaving the hospital, I said to the doctor, 'How many of these babies do you think are going to live?' He looked me straight in the eye and said, 'None, not one.' They need five different kinds of medication to treat the cancers that the children had, and the embargoes laid on by the United States and the United Nations only allowed them three." Wrapping up the three-day forum yesterday, the delegates agreed to a 26-point action plan to save children, and it goes on to list them. I don't know if you've seen those pictures. You can probably find them on the internets. You may not want to. You may not want to look at those pictures. The pictures of children who have been bombed and strafed and had their eyes burned shut with white phosphorus are bad enough, but the ones of children whose mothers' wombs have, more metaphorically speaking, become radioactive, the genetic damage done to these unborn children. That has a familiar sound to it. Fetuses. Embryos. The damage done to them is monstrous. I live my life, my love I give.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-858-5800 for The Forward. That's 800-858-5800.
And we're a country of deep compassion. We care. One of the great things about America, one of the beauties of our country, is that when we see a young, innocent child blown up by an IED, we cry.
It's 21 past the hour. Phone number here is 866-303-2270. According to French news agency, the Israeli Air Force is under orders to blast 10 buildings in South Beirut, which is considered a Hezbollah stronghold, for every rocket the group fires at the Israeli port city of Haifa. That's according to Israeli Army Radio. A senior Air Force officer told the radio station, quote, Army Chief of Staff Dan Halutz has given the order to the Air Force to destroy 10 multi-story buildings in the Dahiya district of Beirut in response to every rocket fired on Haifa. And as you know, one of the Israeli missiles hit a UN post today. I'm not sure how many people died. 2, 3, 4. There is a website called axisoflogic.com. axisoflogic.com. And they have this was sent to me by Glenda in here in Georgia. She wrote, keep up the work. Sometimes I have to leave your show for a while because I can't handle the truth. Your rage hits a nerve, and I'm afraid I'll bust an artery just thinking of what a god-awful mess the country and the world is in right now. But I'm back. Alternatively, listening to you on the web some evenings or going to sleep with my tinny-sounding bedside AM radio carrying your show on WDOD in nearby Chattanooga. I, too, grew up fearing the distant mushroom cloud, and after all these years, the fear is back. My worst nightmare is that these insane, rapture-ready Christians will find a way to make it happen. Yeah, I hear you. So Glenda sent me a link to this, axisoflogic.com, and there is a blog there from someone named Silly Goldenberg, T-S-I-L-L-I, Tassili Goldenberg, an Israeli citizen. And it says, I, Tassili Goldenberg, Israeli citizen, accuse you, Ehud Olmert, Prime Minister of Israel, Amir Peretz, Minister of Defense, Dan Halutz, Head of Staff, Chief Commander of the Israeli Army, of committing this bestial, barbaric slaughter in Lebanon. I accuse you of committing crimes against humanity toward the Palestinian people. I accuse you of deserting our soldiers when their lives could be saved by negotiations, and I accuse you of starting an unjustified war in my name. Haniyeh, Prime Minister of the Palestinian people, was willing to negotiate with us not only the return of POW Gilad Shalit, but a long-term ceasefire that would enable people of Israel and Palestine security and sanity. You refused. Nasrallah was willing to negotiate the return of the soldiers kidnapped in the north. You refused. Instead, you have endangered the lives of hundreds of thousands of Israelis. You have caused the death of 27 Israelis, up until now, civilians and soldiers. You have caused the mass murder of more than 350 Lebanese, many of them children. You have caused 500,000 Lebanese to be refugees, and you continue to murder and starve Palestinian children just because they are living on their land. The Palestinians are not my enemies, nor are the Lebanese. You have become my enemy. And I will fight you, and so many other sane people around the world. And then it's signed to Tassili Goldenberg and an address in Jerusalem. Yeah, we know how this Israeli feels, the same way that we feel about George W. Bush. And then there's some questions on that website by Gabrielle Zamperini, who I don't know if she is French, Israeli, I have no idea. Did you know, the writer says, that the daughter of Israel's newly elected prime minister added her voice to those of the anti-Israel forces around the world when she actively participated in a demonstration outside the home of IDF Chief of Staff Dan Halutz, calling him a murderer? That would be Ehud Olmert's daughter. And then the question, did you know that? And then the second question, why not? And then this, did you know that 45% of those killed in Lebanon are children? And of the 500,000 people who have fled to safety, some 200,000 are children? Why not? Did you know that Israel bombed the nation's biggest private network, the Lebanese Broadcasting Corporation? Why not? Did you know that a big milk factory in the Bekaa region called Liban Leit was completely burned and destroyed by direct attacks from the Israeli Air Force? And that a food storehouse called Transmed in Beirut's southern suburbs was totally destroyed? Why not? Did you know that Lebanon's president accused Israel on Monday of using phosphorus bombs in its 13-day offensive and urged the United Nations to demand an immediate ceasefire? Why not? Did you know that the bodies of 13 Lebanese fighters were taken from Arun al-Ras and buried in Israel to use in further negotiations over the release of Israeli prisoners? Why not? Did you know that the Israeli military has said it would destroy 10 buildings in South Beirut for every rocket fired at the Israeli port of Haifa? Why not? Did you know that the delivery of at least 100 GBU-28 bunker buster bombs containing depleted uranium warheads by the United States to Israel for use against targets in Lebanon will result in additional radioactive and chemical toxic contamination with consequent adverse health and environmental effects throughout the Middle East? Why not?
When your death takes its toll.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Who's there?
Opportunity.
Opportunity who?
Opportunity knocking.
What for?
Your chance to win.
Win what?
Sony stuff.
Who's with you?
Sony card.
Sony card who?
Sony card weekly cash-in.
Cash-in? How much?
A $500 Sony card credit or a $599 Sony style gift card every week.
That's a lot of dough.
Good for a lot of entertainment.
Like movies and music? A digital camera?
Go for it.
But how?
Every week, 3 lucky card members could win.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
But you gotta act fast.
Where do I apply?
Online.
What's the address?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner.
Sounds easy.
It is. It's SonyCard. Earning points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with SonyCard.
Okay. The question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Premature babies need hope, love, and you. Premature birth is the leading cause of newborn death and many serious health problems. It happens to 1 out of 8 babies in the U.S. You can help premature babies by joining March of Dimes Walk America and raising money to support research and programs to find out how to prevent premature birth and how to help families who experience it. Register today. Get your sponsor form at Kmart or Famous Footwear or visit walkamerica.org or call 1-800-525-WALK.
proof that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's 26 before the hour. And the last couple of these, do you know, did you know what's going on, what is going on in this war, is subject to review by Israel's chief military censor, who has, in her own words, extraordinary power. She can silence a broadcaster, block information, and put journalists in jail. You didn't know that? Why not? Did you know that, according to the Lebanese police force, the two Israeli soldiers were captured in Lebanese territory? You didn't know that? Why not? Did you know how the cross-border myth originated? Why not? And it goes on. And also at antiwar.com, you can find an article by Joshua Frank titled "Kidnapped in Israel or Captured in Lebanon?" And it raises the question, just like Chomsky and Howard Zinn and the rest of the people point out, that the original kidnapping in Gaza that set off the Gaza situation was not the kidnapping of the soldier Shalit. It was the kidnapping. His kidnapping was a response to the snatching of two Gazans. But we're not allowed to hear this in American media. We are not allowed to hear anything that is anti-Israel in the least respect, even if it happens to be true. If it's considered to be critical of the state of Israel, it is not broadcast on American media. There are certain designated hitters, like Wolf Blitzer, who are allowed to say things like, oh, I don't know, the Israeli shelling of Lebanon continues today with scores of casualties, the numbers increasing, you know, that sort of thing. But when it comes to reporting and getting into the facts of the issue, whatever the IDF puts out there or the Israeli government puts out there as fact is accepted as fact. And woe be to the American reporter or television geek who has been airlifted into this war zone who reports something to the contrary. That reporter, whether it's a Dan Rather or a John Roberts or who's this little freak from CNN 360 who runs around out there like a chicken with his head cut off. What's his name? Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper.
Yeah, or any of these people, if they really, really report what's going on, they will be brought home immediately and probably fired.
Well, Mike, don't you believe that Israel has a right to defend itself against all these terrorist children? These are terrorist babies that probably carry terrorist stem cells that someday will grow up to be adult terrorists that could, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. General Wesley Clark, in his book, Winning Modern Wars, page 130, quote, as I went back through the Pentagon in November 2001, one of the senior military staff officers had time for a chat. Yes, we were still on track for going against Iraq, he said, but there was more. This was being discussed as part of a 5-year campaign plan, he said, and there were a total of 7 countries, beginning with Iraq, then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Iran, Somalia, and Sudan. He said it with reproach, with disbelief almost, at the breadth of the vision. I moved the conversation away, for this was not something I wanted to hear, and it was not something I wanted to see moving forward either. I left the Pentagon that afternoon deeply concerned, end quote. Now, that's from, this all over the Internet, General Wesley Clark's book, Winning Modern Wars, page 130, brings up this plan to attack Lebanon. And as my emailer writes, of course, this is fully consistent with the U.S. neocons master plan, which is Rebuilding America's Defenses, published in August 2000 by the Project for the New American Century. That's PNAC. And, as PNAC's website notes, the lead author of that plan, a guy named Thomas Donnelly, was a top official at Lockheed Martin, a company well acquainted with war and its profit potential. It's no surprise, then, that Republicans are starting to talk about withdrawing troops from Iraq. The troops will be needed in Lebanon, and maybe Sudan, Syria, Iran.
Well, Bush backed off of that today. He's not withdrawing any troops. In fact, he's going to send more in.
Right. Speaking of Bush, let's do a couple of sound bites here. This is from the press availability provided by Karl Rove of Bush and the fake Prime Minister of Iraq, Maliki. Or as Bush calls him, Malachi. Now, even as a speech, with a speech ready, he comes off like an imbecile here. The car row of word lists for the day include problems, priority, succeed. Now, this is from his opening remarks. It doesn't get much simpler than this, Truth Seekers. Here's Chuckle Nuts.
It's remarkable, historical.
A moment, as far as I'm concerned,
to welcome freely elected leader of Iraq to the White House.
God.
We discussed a lot of issues.
Oh, good.
The Prime Minister's laid out a comprehensive plan.
Oh, good.
That's what leaders do.
Oh.
They see problems, they address problems, and they lay out a plan to solve the problems.
Uh-huh.
Prime Minister understands he's got challenges, and he's identified priorities. Our priority is to help this government succeed. It's in the national interest of the United States that a unity government based upon a constitution that is advanced and modern succeed.
Of course, that constitution turns Iraq into an Islamic republic, which really doesn't have anything to do with democracy. Islamic republics, Chuckle Nuts, are not democracies. As a matter of fact, Islamic republics are perhaps the exact opposite of a democracy, you moron! Oh, my God, this man just makes my eyeballs bleed. He makes my teeth hurt. We now have a government in Iraq that, as soon as the U.S. troops leave, if they ever leave, becomes the Islamic Republic of Iraq, which aligns itself with the Islamic Republic of Iran, which then becomes a major, major, religiously insane force in the Middle East, to then do battle with the other religiously insane forces in the Middle East. And then the Christian rapturists will be way happy, because the death toll will be monumental. We have created the Islamic Republic of Iraq. Okay. Which not that there's anything wrong with that. But why pretend it's a democracy? Now here's Mensa Man's plan for action to stop the, quote, insurgents.
And he comes wondering whether or not we're committed. He hears all kinds of stories here in the United States.
All kinds of stories, yeah.
And we want to help you.
Yeah.
We talked about security in Baghdad.
Yeah.
The question to terrorists and extremists are brutal.
Yeah.
These are people that just kill innocent people.
Kind of like us.
Coalition Iraqi forces will secure individual neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah.
Will ensure the existence of an Iraqi security presence in the neighborhoods and gradually expand the security presence as Iraqi citizens help them root out those who instigate violence.
Yeah, well, instigating violence is always a bad thing, Chuckle Nuts. What's this? We're going to take it neighborhood by neighborhood now. Oh, okay. And the terrorists? Oh, those are people that kill innocent people. Well, let me see. That would be the Israeli military. That would be the American military, that would be the Hezbollah military, that would be the Palestinian military. I guess everybody's a terrorist by that definition. That makes Bill Clinton a terrorist. It makes you a terrorist. It makes your pappy a terrorist. We're all terrorists, aren't we? And, of course, the entire population of the United States of America, at least those who pay taxes, are terrorists, because didn't you say, George, anyone who finances terrorists or helps terrorists or harbors terrorists is a terrorist? Well, we pay for all this with our tax dollars, don't we? Huh? You evil bastard. We pay for all of this. So, tonight Mike Malloy is a terrorist, and if you're listening to this program, you're a terrorist. And even if you're not listening to the program, you're a terrorist. Oh, and as always, the first and foremost Karl Rove word of the day for Iraq is progress! Still from his scripted monologue, this.
Recently, a key province in southern Iraq was transferred to full Iraqi civilian control.
Wow.
We still face challenges in Baghdad, yet we see progress elsewhere in Iraq. In the midst of all the violence in Baghdad, sometimes success is obscured.
Yeah.
And this transfer of a key province is the beginning of other provinces to be transferred
to
full Iraqi control. Sign of progress.
Progress.
No question it's tough in Baghdad, and no question it's tough in other parts of Iraq.
It's tough.
But there are also places where progress is being made, and the Prime Minister and I talked about that progress.
Yeah, 100 dead per day now. That's way up from last year's numbers. Yeah, that's progress. That's progress, you murderous bastard, you. Oh, my God, you listen to this. So I call him a murderous bastard, or I'll call him a son of a bitch, or I call him chuckle nuts. Or, you know, I come up with all these demeaning terms, all these nasty little cuss words. It doesn't mean a thing, doesn't mean a thing, doesn't mean a thing. And chuckle nuts sits there and says this stuff, and this this enabling press corps sits there and just, progress, yeah, okay, progress. Yeah, the Iraqi Defense Forces, yeah, let's see, who would that be? Oh, those are the death squads who are out there murdering each other because they're involved in a full-scale civil war. This key southern province in Iraq, I wonder which key southern province that is. I wonder if that's down there in the swamps, the reed people. What do they call them? The marsh people. I wonder if that's... is that what he's talking about? The ones that were butchered mercilessly when Bush's pappy said, rise up against Saddam, we'll support you. And the... Shia rose up, and of course, Pappy Bush did nothing, and they were all butchered. You think?
Everybody's got something to hide, except for me and my monkey.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Apicor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Apicor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Apicor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Apicor works. And Apicor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Apicor free with your order, plus a free gift from Apicor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
It wasn't all that long ago that we started military operations. We've been there, what, how many days? You're counting the days since we've been there, because I'm not.
It's about 10 before the hour. If you want to see an award-winning film, documentary, and it was from, the award was in 2005, it was one of the film festivals on the West Coast. Doris in Wenatchee, Washington, sent this in to me. It's a video titled Beyond Treason. This is about the depleted uranium attack, sustained attack on Iraq. Of course, Clinton ordered depleted uranium weapons dropped in Serbia, in Yugoslavia, in his war during the mid-90s. So not only Iraq, but also Middle Europe has been contaminated to a deadly degree with this toxic substance, depleted uranium. If you don't know anything about it, you should. You really should. But the video is called Beyond Treason. And if you Google that name, just Beyond Treason, you'll come up with all sorts of places where you can buy it. It runs about an hour and a half. And also, the website that I was I think you should check out, Gabriel Zamperini, the one who wrote the Why Not thing I was reading, that's thecatsdream.com. thecatsdream.com. He's a good writer. He's a good blogger. Check him out. Gabriel Zamperini. I think I'm pronouncing it right. thecatsdream.com. And Beyond Treason is the film, the documentary that explains what we have done. Truly, I mean, this is just, it's almost like talking about the weather. It is so anchored in the reality of the United States now. We have utterly poisoned the entire country of Iraq. And even if we look beyond, and I think we're subhuman if we even attempt this, look beyond what we've done to the Iraqis and see what we've done to American soldiers who were in Gulf War I, Bush I's war, who were exposed to depleted uranium. They called it Gulf War syndrome. Nobody could figure it out. These soldiers were told that they were insane or delusional or suffering from PTSD when their children were born headless or armless or with one eye or with genitals in their armpit. Just horrific. Horrifically deformed children, because the damage that was done in using depleted uranium to anyone who was near it, whether they were American military or Iraqi civilians, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, that stuff doesn't care what religion you are or whether or not you wear a uniform. It alters your genetic structure to the point that if you do decide to have children, you are going to have horrifically deformed offspring. As a result of being exposed to it. But what we did in Iraq during Gulf War I, and then all during the Clinton years, and now Gulf War II, we have turned that country into a deadly radioactive pit of destruction and death. And probably the only way to save subsequent generations of Iraqis at this point would be to declare the entire country a dead zone. Of course, the stuff, the depleted uranium that got into the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers that are washing downstream and eventually dump into the Red Sea or the Straits of Hormuz. Where does it go? Where do the Tigris and Euphrates go? Does it wind? I don't have a map in front of me, but the damage that we've done, and everybody knew about depleted uranium. This is not like, okay, well, this is a substance that we're going to use because it's extremely hard. The reason we used it is extremely hard. We penetrate tanks, tank armor. It's an extremely hard metal. But when it does penetrate, it explodes into almost like dust and pollutes everything. The soil, the groundwater, skin, hair, lungs, vital organs. Testes, ovaries, everything, totally. So up until Israel started using the stuff, the only country on the face of the earth that had used it was the United States. And I guess we gave it to some of the NATO countries, too, and we certainly gave it to the Israelis, because NATO was involved in the war in Yugoslavia. Now, to what extent there were fighter pilots, I'm sure there were British pilots who dropped ordnance on Yugoslavia that was comprised of this stuff. But for the most part, it was us. This is our product. This is what the mighty American defense industry has provided for the rest of humanity. It's now if you want to see the pictures, and I don't think you do, but there is a website that will show you some of the pictures of these children who are born and have been whose mothers were exposed or who were themselves exposed in utero to depleted uranium. It's horrifying. I don't know if I should even give the website. I don't think I will. If you want to find it yourself, because it is it's beyond belief. Just beyond belief. The first time I took a look at some of this stuff was, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years ago, when I first started to understand what depleted uranium was and how it was being used. It was shocking. It was just unbelievably hard to deal with. If you want, all right, it's mindfully.org, mindfully.org, and there's more to the absolute URL, but you can start at mindfully.org and find it yourself. More fun and frivolity here when we return, and more Raisin Brain sounds. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
On Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. George Bush met today with Iraq's prime minister at the White House. In the 5 weeks since Bush saw Nouri al-Maliki in Baghdad, there has been a spike in bombings and shootings in the Iraqi capital. A UN report estimates 100 Iraqi civilians are being killed in Baghdad every day. Last week, al-Maliki appealed to his country's rival political and ethnic factions to band together and stop the violence, saying it could be Iraq's last chance. George Bush said that he's ready to send more U.S. military police and other forces already in Iraq to Baghdad. After the meeting with the Iraqi Prime Minister, Bush says he wants Iraq to know the U.S. is committed to helping put down the deadly sectarian attacks in Baghdad. George Bush today also said Iraq is like Lebanon in that both countries face opponents of democracy. In a joint news conference with Iraq's Prime Minister, Bush says support for Lebanon's government is part of the U.S. strategy to help bring peace to the Mideast. Palestinian police fought with hundreds of people protesting Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice's visit to the West Bank today. About 1,000 demonstrators gathered outside the Ramallah headquarters of Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. They were chanting, "Rice out," and they carried flags of militant groups like Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and Hezbollah. Several people were arrested. In Israel earlier, Rice said it's time for what she calls a new Middle East. Rice also called for a ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah, but with some strings attached, and those conditions were rejected by Hezbollah. Rice also met with Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert today. He says Israel is determined to carry on the fight against Hezbollah. Citing national security, a federal judge today threw out a lawsuit aimed at blocking AT&T from giving telephone records to the government for use in the war on terror. The judge said requiring AT&T to confirm or deny whether it has disclosed large quantities of telephone records to the federal government could give adversaries of this country valuable insight into the government's intelligence activities. The judge was ruling in a lawsuit filed by the American Civil Liberties Union of Illinois on behalf of author Studs Terkel and other activists who said their constitutional rights were violated because of a National Security Agency program of gathering phone company records. The Justice Department argued it would violate the law. This is Air America Radio News.
back. 7 past the hour. All right, a couple more sound bites, and then we're going to come to your phone calls. Oh, by the way, regarding the movie Beyond Treason, the documentary Beyond Treason, if you really want to get it, rather than go to Google and Googling it and coming up with a website where you can buy it on DVD, you can get it for a donation at tvnewslies.org. So if you're going to spend a few bucks to buy this DVD, and I'm not sure what it costs if you buy it online, if you're going to spend the money anyway, do it at tvnewslies.org. It's probably going to be cheaper because it's going to be a donation. I don't know if they have a set price there, but even if it's exactly the same price, you'll be sending the money to one of the righteous online organizations instead of just to, you know, who sells DVDs online, Kathy? Amazon? Yeah. So don't send it there. I didn't know that TV News Lies had it available for a donation, but I know now. So check it out. Seriously. We shouldn't. As a matter of fact, let's get Ben on. Ben is calling. Ben Birch is calling from Elgin, who is a former nuclear engineer and a good friend. He runs WhiteRoseSociety.org. Can we bring Ben up, please? Can we get Ben on the line? Hello. Okay, we'll sit here and wait. There
Hello.
We go. Thank you. All right, Ben. Don't worry. We just have slow bringing you up. Now, let's talk. You and I have talked before about depleted uranium. Go ahead and jump right into this.
Well, you know, the reason we use depleted uranium is not because it is the most suitable thing for the job. Absolutely not. Depleted uranium is not particularly hard.
Well, I thought it was one of the hardest substances.
Oh, no. It's only about 6 on the Mohs scale out of 10. A hardened steel file is 6.5. Okay?
Oh, well,
there are harder
all right.
things.
Okay.
We choose it because it is, as metals go, very dense. It's denser than lead. It's denser than iron. It's denser than nickel.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, there is something else that works a whole lot better, and it's what the Germans used to destroy all those Russian tanks that they, you know, destroyed
right.
with their Stukas and their Focke Wulfs in World War II, and that is tungsten.
Tungsten.
Tungsten is actually slightly denser than uranium.
Let me interrupt. If you could just take 30 seconds, for those of us who didn't pay attention during chemistry class or physics class, the difference between hardness and density, please, if you could do it in 30 seconds.
Hardness is how easy it is to scratch or break something. Density is how much it weighs per unit of volume.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. That was good. That was 10 seconds. Okay, good.
All right. Tungsten works a whole lot better as a penetrator. It's slightly denser than uranium. It's harder than uranium. It's actually safer and easier to work with than uranium. But tungsten has something that uranium does not have, and that is cost.
Cost.
We use uranium, depleted uranium, for this because we have a whole bunch of it that we got for free as a side effect of nuclear power and nuclear bomb making.
From the mining of uranium.
Yeah, well when you create atom bomb uranium, you have to enrich the uranium. Now this is done in either a gaseous diffusion plant or in a big glorified mass spectrometer called a calutron. Or in a centrifuge, the way we alleged the Iraqis were going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is ridiculous. They'd have built a calutron, and anybody can build one of those. They're easy.
Yeah, I've got one in my garage.
Well, yeah. I got 3 or 4 working out back. We'll have an atom bomb soon.
Right. You make it all sound so simple, but that's because you were in that industry. But I appreciate what you're saying. Go ahead.
Okay, so we use depleted uranium. We poison the people of Iraq and the people anywhere where we fire one of these shells,
mm-hmm.
and our own soldiers, for simply the reason that we are too cheap to pay for very expensive tungsten, and we use this depleted uranium that we've got lying about. And, you know, there's really nothing depleted about depleted uranium. The only thing it's depleted about is its ability to make an atom bomb.
Mm-hmm.
We've pulled all the U-235 out of it and left the U-238 and a tiny bit of U-233 that is in the stuff naturally. And it doesn't make it any less a dangerous, toxic heavy metal. It doesn't make it any less a radioactive material, although, honestly, as radioactive things go, depleted uranium is not all that radioactive. It's an alpha emitter. It's got a half-life in close to a billion years.
But isn't what makes it so deadly is the fact that it gets into the environment and is inhaled or picked up as dust?
And it is deadly for its heavy metal toxicity primarily rather than its radiation. It is an extraordinarily toxic heavy metal. Do you remember when all those people in Japan started dying, getting sick from mercury?
Yes.
It's that sort of thing. It is a toxic heavy metal that once it gets into the body, that heavy metal starts impeding all kinds of chemical activity in the body. It impedes cell division. It really messes with things and causes mutations, but not because it's radioactive, because it's really very weakly radioactive,
mm-hmm.
but because it is toxic.
Now,
thing to understand is that our depleted uranium, having said that about depleted uranium, our depleted uranium is impure because back during the bad old days, during the Manhattan Project,
mm-hmm.
we used to mix a whole bunch of other junk left over from reactors in with the depleted uranium since we were just going to throw it all away. So our depleted uranium is really relatively impure and could have some pretty bad junk in it from a radiation point of view.
The woman who won the Nobel Peace Prize 30 years ago, the Irish woman who was speaking in Australia and whose comments I began the program with tonight, she has toured those hospitals, as have a lot of people. I think Helen Caldicott is an outspoken critic of anything nuclear, but especially depleted uranium. And it is carcinogenic in that it does cause cancers. The genetic mutation, I guess, from what you've said, comes from the fact that it's a heavy metal.
Mm-hmm.
The cancers come from the fact that that it is, in fact, radioactive. It may be
right, and it's an alpha emitter. And when you allow an alpha emitter into your body, be that uranium, be that polonium, just about anything. You know, alpha radiation, you could sit on a chair made out of depleted uranium all day, and it probably would never harm you. But as soon as that comes into your body, where those, you know, because the skin will stop most alpha radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Alpha radiation is just an ionized helium nucleus flying out at great speed. Paper will stop it, you know, just about any thin barrier will stop it. But once it is inside your cells,
mm-hmm.
there is nothing that will stop it in there. And in there, it ionizes other chemicals and causes, you know, bad things to occur.
Yeah, all of a sudden I feel like I have to cough, and I'm not sure why. But all right, Ben, thanks. I appreciate the science lesson there, and I'm sure the people listening to the program appreciate what you had to say. Thanks for checking in on this.
You take care, sir.
All right, you too,
bye.
Ben. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. If you have the stomach to look at these pictures, they are available. And if you want to see the documentary, which is available on DVD, go get it at TVNewsLies.org. TVNewsLies.org. And thanks to Ben for checking in with us on that. All right, we've got a break coming up here in what, 15 seconds? Let's just go ahead and do the break. We'll come back and finish up these sound bites, and then I think we're going to come to your phone calls. Phone number here is 866-303-2270. Couple open lines, so if you want to get your comments heard tonight, now's the time to call in. All right? This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
Break my spine.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
You be the judge. New FlexoFactor helps promote joint strength, flexibility, lubrication, range of motion, and even the renewal of cartilage from your hands and knees to your hips and elbows. And we'll prove it by letting you try it free. A $30 bottle, free. FlexoFactor is a new all-natural joint support supplement that combines five specific joint-supporting ingredients in one exclusive formula. FlexoFactor helps cushion, lubricate, and strengthen joints and cartilage over time. It's perfect for seniors, weekend athletes, anyone who depends on healthy joints for an active lifestyle. But don't take our word for it. You be the judge. Call now and try a free bottle of FlexoFactor, a $30 value. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover shipping and handling. FlexoFactor. We know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Call 1-800-364-9974. That's 1-800-364-9974. Limit one bottle per household. Call 1-800-364-9974.
Of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact.
Yeah, 22 past the hour. Oh, Phil Restino, our one of our vets against the war, Beyond Treason, the DVD is free if you are a military veteran. If that's not redundant. If you are a veteran, go to beyondtreason.com. Now, if you're not a military veteran, go to tvnewslies.org. But if you're a military veteran, you can get this DVD free, according to Philip, by going to beyondtreason.com. Okay? All right. A couple remaining sound bites from Chuckle Nuts and the toy Prime Minister of Iraq today. A little more claptrap here about the so-called sustainable ceasefire, whatever that means, and regarding Lebanon and Israel. And not to worry, Condoleezza Rice apparently is building corridors. That's right, she's building corridors, so therefore help is on the way.
Prime Minister and I spent time talking about Lebanon.
Ooh.
And we had a frank exchange on views on this situation. I reminded him and told him that Connie's over there working to establish corridors to ensure the delivery of humanitarian aid and essential relief supplies.
Yeah, right.
I told him I support a sustainable ceasefire that will bring about an end to violence.
Yeah.
And I talked about the importance of strengthening the Lebanese government and supporting the Lebanese people.
That's insane. You evil bastard. You evil bastard, you. How can you stand there and lie, you dumb, evil bastard? Everybody knows the invasion of Lebanon is something that was worked out with Cheney and Netanyahu and Sharansky. And then the deed was done. They just needed a precipitating event, whether that precipitating event was an actual event or a constructed event. And you, you evil simpleton, you stand there and tell us that you support a sustainable ceasefire because you believe in the importance of the Lebanese government and supporting the Lebanese people. No, you don't. You want them all dead. You know you want them all dead. Every single one of them. All of them. Murder them all. Christian, Muslim, Jew, makes no difference. Kill them all. The importance of strengthening the Lebanese government. You want to strengthen the Lebanese government, you half-wit? Then stop the bombing. Tell Israel to stop the bombing now. And if you did that, Dick Cheney would come in your bedroom tonight and beat your ass, and you know he would. So sit down and shut up. No, better yet, stand there with your toy Prime Minister of Iraq and pretend like you know what you're talking about. Ah. I mean, it's one thing to listen to this. It's something else, again, to be expected. We're expected to sit there and believe it. He's interested in a strong Lebanese government. What the hell does that mean? He's interested in protecting the Lebanese people. From whom? From him? Easy now, Mike. Finally, we come to the Q&A portion of this Dog and Pony show. One of the crack White House reporters says the following. Mr. President, why should one expect this new security crackdown in Baghdad to succeed when all the previous ones have failed? And you've said before that withdrawal of U.S. troops would depend on conditions on the ground. What do conditions on the ground now in Baghdad suggest in terms of whether there can be a significant withdrawal of American forces by the end of the year?
Conditions change inside a country, Tom, and the question is, are we going to be facile enough to change with the... Will we be nimble enough? You know, will we be able to deal with the circumstances on the ground? And
oh
the answer is yes, we will. Obviously, the violence in Baghdad is still terrible. And therefore, there needs to be more troops.
Oh,
as the commander said, what more can we do? How best to address the conditions on the ground? And they have recommended... as a result of working with the Prime Minister, based upon his recommendation, that we increase the number of U.S. troops.
Are you hearing this? Are you hearing this? Remember General Shinseki, who was fired 4 years ago? Was it 4 years ago? How long have we been in this godforsaken war? When he said it would take 300,000 to 400,000 U.S. troops to pacify Iraq after the overthrow of Saddam. Remember that? And he was fired. And here's this evil little bastard standing there with his toy prime minister saying, one more thing, we need more troops. We need more troops. So, based on the recommendation of the Prime Minister, and we're supposed to sit here and believe this, we're going to increase the number of U.S. troops. Maliki. That's Maliki. That's his suggestion, and Bush wants you and me to believe that. That came right out of the mouth of Dick Cheney and possibly Benjamin Netanyahu, but certainly Dick Cheney's mouth. And the question is, he says, are we going to be facile enough to change? Will we be nimble enough? I don't know about you, George. Are you going to be facile enough to jump around and dodge IEDs, anti-pregnancy devices? Are you going to be nimble enough to dodge the depleted uranium weaponry? Huh? Are your grandchildren going to be 6 pound, 7 ounce eyeballs?
Hello?
Opportunity calling.
I thought you knocked.
That's a cliche.
What do you have?
An opportunity to win.
What's it called?
Sony Card Wish It Win It.
So first I wish?
And then you have a chance to win.
Win what?
$10,000 worth of Sony Entertainment.
That's huge.
That's Sony Card Wish It Win It.
What do I do now?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience to create your personal wish list.
I wish for Sony Electronics, CDs, DVDs, and games.
Go now.
Can't wait.
There's a Sony Card winner each month.
So there's a chance?
That you'll be the one.
To wish and then win?
That's why it's called Wish It, Win It from Sony Card. The card that earns points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
The second pillar of peace and security in our world is the willingness of free nations to retain aggression and evil by force.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right, we're rushing to the end here. A brave member of the Iraqi press stands up and asks Chucklenuts, do you and the Prime Minister believe, is there an obvious change that could be made to the security status, particularly in Baghdad right now?
He believes, and I believe, that the there needs to be more forces inside Baghdad who are willing to hold people to account.
What?
In other words, if you find somebody who's kidnapping and murdering, the murderer ought to be held to account.
Oh,
my attitude is we shouldn't, you know, try to gauge whether or not someone is justified or not. We ought to be saying that if you murder, you're responsible for your actions. And I think the Iraqi people appreciate that.
What? And my attitude
type
is...
of attitude.
My attitude is we shouldn't try to gauge whether or not someone is justified or not where it concerns kidnapping murder. Okay, then what does that mean? Is he referring to what the Iraqis want? They want American soldiers who commit rape and murder and try to burn the corpses to be tried by Iraqi law in Iraq. Is that what Bush is talking about? He's saying kidnapping and murdering, the murderer ought to be held to account. Okay, is he referring to our people who, on orders of their commanders, kill anything that they see moving, sort of like the free fire zones in Vietnam, anything that is moving in an area like Fallujah or some of these cities and towns that the United States military has gone into with the express purpose of killing everybody in there? Is that what he's referring to? Because I don't know. He says we ought to be saying that if you murder, you're responsible for your actions. Okay, what is murder? In a war zone, what is murder? The Israelis say that when soldiers are captured, that's called kidnapping. That's called kidnapping, if you can believe that. Okay, is what the Israelis are doing in downtown Lebanon, is that considered arson? What we are doing in Iraq, what's that called? What do we call what we're doing in Iraq? Is that armed robbery? Is it grand theft? What are we doing in Iraq? So Bush is saying, if you murder, you're responsible for your actions. And he says, I think the Iraqi people appreciate that type of attitude. What are you talking about? The Iraqi people are being murdered. 100 of them a day, you dumb bastard. 100 Iraqis are being blown up every day. We know you don't read the paper, you freak. We know you don't. You listen to a summary from Karl Rove or your great advisors. Who would that be? Shoe lady? No, she's off in Rome this week, right? Jesus God. Murder ought to be held to account. Yeah, okay, well, I think most of us can agree to that. Maybe your day will come, huh? You ever wonder what the weather's like in The Hague, George? That's over there in Europe. Last one from Chucklenuts for tonight. The reporter says, you both had a frank exchange on the Middle East. Now, let me step out of the quote here for a second. What that means is, Maliki, is saying that the Israeli killers ought to stop what they're doing in Lebanon. And Bush is saying, oh, we're going to stop in a couple of weeks. We have to make sure there's enough death and destruction. We have set Lebanon back at least 40 years now. We want to set them back 50. We want to make sure that for the next half century, those Arab bastards, oh, are there Christians in Lebanon? How about Negroes? Do they have Negroes? That those Arab bastards can't do anything. We are destroying Lebanon, Mr. Maliki, and shut up and sit down or I'll have Dick Cheney take you out. I've had two others taken out. I can have you taken out like this. So sit down and shut up. Back to the reporter. You both had a frank exchange in the Middle East. How can you get Arab nations to apply pressure to stop the fighting in the Middle East if allies like the Prime Minister, the guy standing next to you, Chucklenuts, won't condemn Hezbollah?
The terrorists are afraid of democracies.
Ah.
And what you've witnessed Israel, in my judgment, is the act of a terrorist organization trying to stop
the advance of democracy in the region.
Ah.
I also talked about making sure that that we adhere to UN Resolution 1559, which basically, not basically, it strongly urges political parties not to be armed.
Like Likud?
So Condi goes with the following messages. We support the Sonora government. We care about the people. We will help to get aid to the people. And that we want a sustainable ceasefire. We don't want something that's, short-term in duration.
Ah, okay. Now tell me again, Chucklenuts, about the plan to invade Lebanon that was devised in November 2001. Huh? What about that? The terrorists are afraid of democracies. Wait a second. Let's see. Democracy in the occupied territories resulted in the election of Hamas. Democracy in Lebanon resulted in the election of members of parliament who are Hezbollah. So how are the terrorists afraid of democracies now that they've become democracies? You call them terrorists. They wouldn't call themselves terrorists. They would call themselves, freedom fighters or resistors or insurgents or what would they, Israel haters? I don't know. I don't know if they call themselves terrorists. What do they call themselves, George? But how are they afraid of democracies? They all are participating in this dumbass institution that you call democracy. How do you have democracy among people who are living in refugee camps and who have been living in refugee camps for 50 years? How do you have democracy in areas like Gaza, the most densely populated scrap of earth on the planet, where there's no water now, no air conditioning, very little food, no medical supplies, hospitals bombed? How do you have democracies there? You evil bastard. How do you do that? How do you have a democracy in Lebanon that attempted democracy after a 20-year-long civil war brought about by external factions, let's be polite, and has spent the last 8-9 years trying desperately to rebuild itself, and now Israel, along with the backing of the United States, has turned Lebanon back into rubble. 1 in 5 Lebanese tonight is homeless. 1 million refugees are on the streets and the roads, heading where? Syria, being blown to pieces. Thousands upon thousands of people are in hospitals. What's left of them? And you say terrorists are afraid of democracies. Oh, my God. And UN Resolution 1559 strongly urges political parties not to be armed? Well, are you referring to Hezbollah? You don't call that a political party, you evil bastard. You call it a terrorist organization. Which is it, George? Is it a political party? Is it a terrorist organization? Or is it the result of democracy in Lebanon? What is it? What is Hamas? And somehow Hezbollah is keeping Israel from being a democracy? Is that what you're saying? Terrorists are afraid of democracies? Are you saying that's the reason that this fighting is going on? It makes no sense. Last one. We saved the best for the last. Is this the last one? Oh, jeez. There's two of them here, but they're very quick. This is from the shoe lady. She was with the Palestinian president, another terrorist, Mahmoud Abbas, in Ramallah today. Well, isn't he? Isn't he a terrorist by George's definition? Now, is it just me or does Rice here, the shoe lady, sound very breathy and kind of nervous? I don't know. Maybe she knew they were going to blow up the UN in Lebanon and she wanted to make sure that she was far, far away and her shoes. Here's the shoe lady.
I had the opportunity to brief President Abbas on the efforts that we are making to bring about an urgent but enduring ceasefire in Lebanon, one that can deal with the causes of extremism that began this crisis and that can also lead to the establishment of sovereignty for the Lebanese government throughout its territory, and the ability then to act on the basis of Resolution 1559 and TAIF. We must remain focused on what is happening here in the Palestinian territories, on our desires to get back on a course that will lead ultimately to the President's vision, and indeed the vision of President Bush's vision of President Abbas, of two states living side by side in peace.
And in security. Don't forget the last thing that he said. Have you got that sound by Kathy? See if you can pull it up. Anyway, she says she wanted to brief Abbas on the efforts to bring about an urgent but enduring ceasefire in Lebanon. Did she really say that? How is that different from sustainable? How about a sweet-smelling and effervescent ceasefire? Or a less-filling, tastes-great ceasefire? As long as we're playing cutesy language games here. Urgent but enduring ceasefire. Let's bring about an urgent but enduring. What does that mean? Oh, that's right. It doesn't mean anything. It's not supposed to mean anything. And the run-on sentence is, come on, you're a school marm, shoe lady. You know run-on sentences make people very tense, especially when you're addressing the global press corps. You know, these run-on sentences, how long was that sentence? Dear God, that must have been 45-word sentence. Resolution 1559 and TAIF. Who in the hell knows what TAIF is? Do you know what TAIF is, Truth Seeker? No, neither do I. Have you got what? Here's Bush's vision for the Palestinians.
We share a vision of two states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and in security.
Yeah, you left that part off, shoe lady. Last one from the shoe lady. Still all breathless about the useful discussions she's had on her whirlwind tour of all things deadly. Wonder if they have a designer shoe outlet left intact in Beirut. Isn't Lebanon famous for its slingbacks? Isn't that where the what are those shoes? Gandolfi, Gandolfo? What are those shoes? Yeah, Manolo Blahnik, Sir Gandolf, Ferragamo, whatever. Jimmy Choo? Aren't they made in the sweatshops in Lebanon? Maybe she can snatch up a few before she goes. Here she is.
All in all, this was a very useful and constructive discussion. We are working with the Palestinian Authority and with its duly elected president on multiple fronts, on the security front, on the economic front. The United States continues to provide humanitarian assistance to the Palestinian people, and we have done all that we can to reprogram and to program even more humanitarian assistance. But we need to be able to make progress, because the Palestinian people have lived too long in violence and in a sense of the daily humiliations that go along with the circumstances here.
It's a shame you're not sincere, shoe lady.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Okay. The question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys, and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and you need to get Greg Palast's new book, Armed Madhouse. The Baltimore Chronicle says no one's investigated the Bush clan like Palast and lived to write about it. So pick up Armed Madhouse from Greg Palast, America's top investigative reporter and the funniest. With killer dispatches like Who's Afraid of Osama Wolf, The Scheme to Steal 2008, and No Child's Behind Left. Armed Madhouse, also available as an audiobook with guest readers like me. Armed Madhouse. Get it at GregPalast.com or your local bookstore.
My dream is that there be a Palestinian state living side by side in peace with Iraq.
It's about 8 before the hour. Robert is calling from Newport News, Virginia. Robert, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. I just wanted to expound upon about what Ben said. I'm also a nuclear engineer. I've got a PhD in nuclear engineering and deal with radiation on a daily basis. I just wanted to clarify some things because this is unfortunately a very complex set of systems. We've spent the last 50 years studying this, and there's a lot to it. He had mentioned that tungsten could be used in replace of uranium. Unfortunately, we would have the same problems with tungsten as we would with uranium, in which case it's a heavy metal. It would have the same toxicity, heavy metal toxicity, chemical toxicity as uranium does. It's not radioactive, but in reality, the radio problems of uranium are not causing all these problems. The World Health Organization has said so. In all the websites that you took me to with mindfully.org, it's not the radioactivity, it is the chemical toxicity. So, yes, we're saving money by using uranium instead of tungsten, but we would get the same effects with tungsten as we would with uranium. There are a few minor things that could be caused by the radiation, but in reality, the majority of the problems, especially in the birth defects shown on all those websites, are caused by the chemical toxicity, not the radiation.
Is that
just
right?
Wanted to clear that up because it's very important in being a PhD scientist, have a tendency to delete and not be very clear. And I'm trying to put the record straight. And I thank you very, very much for putting a real scientist on the air to talk about science. It does scare some people.
What is the radioactive danger then from the use of depleted uranium? Is it the fact that when it's pulverized and gets into your system, your body cavities, your skin, it can cause this damage?
It's mainly when it gets into your lungs and your alimentary canal when you eat it. If you don't get it inside of you, it is not radiologically toxic to you. The radiation cannot penetrate your skin. It's only when you breathe it in or you eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you eat massive quantities of it, which unfortunately we have run those tests in the past, sometimes the victims were knowing and sometimes they were not. Yes, then we've got major problems. But in the quantities that you would get from being in vicinity of an A-10 spewing DU bullets, that's a separate thing. There's not the concentration needed to exhibit the radiological consequences, but a lot of the consequences from the chemical aspects of uranium are what take over. And it's just simply a concentration problem. I can get into the whole radiological part of it, but it's very boring and there's a lot of technical stuff that you have to learn first.
Okay, a summarizing statement for perhaps non-scientific, but a summarizing statement might be this. All semantics aside, being deformed by weapons is being deformed by weapons, whether radioactive or not, uranium or tungsten. Is that would be a fair statement?
That would be a fair statement, yes.
Okay. Well, thanks for the addendum to what Ben said. I do appreciate it, Robert. I hope you call again. Thanks very much for checking in tonight. All right. Take care. Well, after Robert and Ben, I understand what they're saying. I do. You really have to ingest this stuff in order to get the toxicity from the radioactivity. And even with what Robert and Ben have said, it doesn't lessen the horror of what we're doing with this stuff. Hi, and we have another. Ron from Davis, California. Ron, we'll get you when we come back. Ron has studied this and also has some comments. So we'll have three experts, and possibly a fourth here, Paul from Fort Lauderdale, on this particular topic. Lots of phone calls when we come back. If you're on hold, stay there. We're going to get to you. That's a promise. This is Air America. I'm Mike Molloy.
on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. An Israeli airstrike killed four UN observers Tuesday at a position inside Lebanon. Israel said it regrets the strike that killed the observers and promises a thorough investigation. Secretary General Kofi Annan has called the bombing a, quote, apparently deliberate targeting of the peacekeepers. An Israeli foreign ministry spokesperson said Israel does not target UN personnel and sincerely regrets the tragic deaths. Humanitarian aid workers in Lebanon are calling for a ceasefire so supplies can get into the country to help the nearly 500,000 displaced residents. But Ruba Khoury with World Vision in Beirut says supplies on hand are low.
We are under siege. We cannot get anything into the country, whether from the sea, the airport, or by land. The security situation is very bad.
Khoury says they are helping around 15,000 displaced residents with food, medicine, and clothing they have stored in a warehouse. She says a humanitarian convoy is needed. Meanwhile, bombing continues, and those who fled continue to take cover. Back at the USA, acting on a tip, Indiana State Police officials Tuesday arrested 17-year-old Zachariah Blanton for allegedly killing a man and injuring another during a series of shootings on two interstate highways during the weekend. Investigators do not know Blanton's motive, but say he was a hunter with knowledge of the area where the shootings took place. The accused is jailed in Jackson County, about 50 miles south of Indianapolis. He's being charged as an adult on charges of murder, attempted murder, and criminal recklessness. The U.S. House Tuesday approved a bill barring law enforcement from confiscating legally owned guns after a disaster such as Hurricane Katrina. The vote to approve was 322-99. Meanwhile, the Senate voted 65-34 in favor of a bill making it illegal to transport a pregnant minor across state lines for an abortion. The bill must still be reconciled in conference committee with a slightly tougher House version before it can be signed by President Bush. There were too many people on board a tour boat that capsized in upstate New York and killed 20 people last October. The NTSB released its final report on the Ethan Allen accident on Tuesday. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. We're listening to Air America. Let's go to Ron now, from calling from Davis, California, about also about depleted uranium. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, hi, Mike. What a horror. What a horror.
Yeah, what a horrible thing, yeah.
Yeah. Are the Israelis using depleted uranium? Do we know that yet?
That's what I've heard today, yes. That's one of the reasons I brought it up.
It's just unbelievable. First of all, I just like to ask the last scientist what he would think if his pregnant wife or his children or he himself were walking around in an area that wherein depleted uranium was used, even 1,000 miles away from where it was used.
I get what you're saying in defense of that guy, and he doesn't need my defense. I think what he was trying to do is just, and so is Ben, get the actual literal truth out.
Right.
And I don't think either one of those guys were trying to make it sound like depleted uranium is not. Not a serious
danger.
But let me
just address simply the radioactive part. Given that the density is profound and highly toxic. What we got going on now is, first of all, I'll point out another fact. We have uranium, depleted uranium, circling the planet in nanometer-sized particles. In other words, there are particles, like particles of smoke or whatever, circling the planet from Kosovo and the two Iran incidents and this thing going on in Lebanon. Now, and that stuff's just going to drift down to Earth. And so you're going to get a toxic reaction because the density is so-called heavy metal. But if a nanometer size, I would have no idea, would probably contain millions of atoms of depleted uranium, each of which emit highly energized alpha particles for 1 billion years. And if you breathe it, the lungs are much more permeable than the alimentary canal. We talked about eating it. So I would take great issue with, of course you're going to get whacked with a heavy metal part, but I would be afraid as hell as well with the radioactive part if you're breathing it.
Well, that's one of the reasons that I appreciate the scientific method, because there is no... there's no mythology. It is science until, it's fact until it's challenged enough so that a new theory is developed from the old theory, and it keeps evolving. So I appreciate what you're saying. The whole thing just makes me ill. The first time, first time I learned about depleted uranium, I couldn't believe. Because I came to that movie late, you know. Like I said, it was 7 or 8 years ago when I first heard about this. I don't know what the hell the person who called my program in Chicago, what he was talking about. Depleted uranium, what the hell is that? And because it sounded almost benign. Well, it's depleted. Doesn't depleted mean it's okay? But then the uranium part was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's still radioactive, no matter what. But it's also toxic. So I agree with what both previous scientists have said, but you have to include the human body.
Sure.
I mean, you have to include the whole picture and the permeability levels of different tissues and all of that.
Gotcha.
And you get it in your lungs and you get it in your blood in a nanometer size, which is a thousandth of a micron size, and this stuff is like there's zillions of particles floating around the planet now. You do not want to breathe that stuff in.
All right. Ron, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for adding to that. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Ron. You know, what were those Comet people, Kathy, that bought the Nikes and laid down in their beds and committed suicide? What was that group? But that wasn't Comet Kohoutek, was it? No, what was that? Do you remember what that was?
What was the guy's name, like Ra or Da or La-di-da or something?
Well, that's beside the point. The point is...
I can't remember the name of it.
Maybe
I think it's Branch Davidians. I think that was that
freak out. Maybe it's time we just went and bought some new Nikes and laid down. And you know, I'm reminded. I hate to be. I'm probably losing about 90% of the audience this past week because of the morose quality of this topic. But or what we've been talking about for days here. I mean, what the hell are we supposed to do? I mean, we can talk about the law passed by was it the Senate or the House today that said if grandma takes her 15-year-old granddaughter across the state line to have an abortion because the kid is freaking out, and if the kid goes to the parents, that the parents will beat her or put her in a Christian decompression camp or something. That grandma is now, if Bush signs the bill, which he will, is subject to a prison. You know, I guess we could talk about that. But this other stuff just has me so totally overwhelmed. And I all this week, maybe it's because we have Molly, all this week, I've been thinking about, towards the end of On the Beach, Neville Shute's book that was turned into the movie, On the Beach, and towards the last scene there, Tony Perkins' character and his wife and their little baby, they have a little 3-, 4-, 5-month-old baby, and they take the pills that the Australian government has issued to all the people because this horrible cloud of radioactivity is coming, and nobody wants to die from a radioactive death. So everyone is taking the pill, and the scene where Tony Perkins and the woman who plays his wife, and Tony Perkins' character and the character of his wife, and they do this, and they just lay down in bed and cuddle up, and then the camera cuts away, and there's a couple of scenes of I guess Gregory Peck's submarine heading back to the already totally dead United States. But the very last scenes in that movie, and I saw this movie in 62, 63, the very last scenes in that movie were the banner that the Salvation Army had put up as they're trying to convert souls to Jesus in the last few minutes. And now the scene is entirely stark and bleak, and everyone's gone. And you see the streets of downtown Melbourne or Brisbane, whatever, I guess it was Melbourne, but that banner across the park that said, "There's still time, brother. There's still time, brother." And the camera zooms in on that, and then that's it, you know, with that. And the soundtrack, of course, was up against that banner, "There's still time, brother." And for some reason here all this week, I keep thinking about this because this is craziness. It is just craziness. I've gotten a couple of emails here tonight that I haven't read on the air where people are suggesting that it's over. You know, the human race, the human species is literally programming itself out of existence here. Unless at the last minute, like in an old Snidely Whiplash movie, if at the last minute the handsome hero comes riding onto the scene here, or series of heroes or whatever, and pulls us back from the brink. I don't know. It's just getting too bizarre.
Maybe tomorrow night we could talk about the abortion grannies.
Right.
Or maybe Bush will find another minority group to speak in front of, and we can talk about that.
Yeah, I remember when we were on WLS in Chicago and we used to make up stuff, like I would talk about walking stickers, that you needed to have a sticker.
That wasn't that far-fetched.
The city of Chicago was going to start charging people for stickers like your inspection sticker on your car, and you had to have a walking sticker, and it was like 19 bucks a quarter or something, and people were calling in and freaking out because it was so real, and then because people live in Chicago would expect that. And, you know, and we just, it was ha, 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 ha. And then at the end of the segment, we'd say, "Hey, we're just kidding." Remember those days? You were a student then. You used to go to and from class, and you would hear me on the air, and you say, "Hey, that was a funny show." Have you heard a funny show on this program?
Yes.
When?
I don't know, but I have. But they're occasional. These aren't funny times. This was during your WLS days. Were during the Clinton impeachment, and there was much hilarity about stained dresses and used Kleenexes and keyhole Ken Starr
and cigars
. And Linda Tripp, and we had the huge budget surplus.
Okay, we're tripping here. Come on,
The biggest problem we had in America was whether or not, you know, the president got a Hinkleman in the
All right, we're tripping. Let's stop this and back to your phone call as soon as we take this break. We'll come back and listen to what you have to say. Sorry for the diversion there. We got to keep talking about death and destruction. I'm sorry, lost our heads. We'll be right back. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. My skin.
sky full of poison, and the atmosphere is too thin. Let the sun rain no more.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Pet owners praise it. The hotel staff loves it. Parents rave about it. Allergy sufferers applaud it. Senior citizens are agog about it. Now it's your turn. Hi, I'm David Orrick. Everybody's singing the praises of my 8-pound Orrick XL because it's the best vacuum that ever touched their floors. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Take
along to a company town. On what used to be solid ground, nobody was ever gonna get sized down. Originally,
it's about 22 past the hour. We have another nuclear physicist. All right. Paul is calling from Santa Barbara. Paul in Santa Barbara. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Good evening.
Hey.
I'm a longtime advocate, a devotee of your show, for one thing. But that beside the point. Uranium-238 does not have to be ingested to have a radiation hazard. There is a strong 1.05 MeV gamma ray that it emits, and it's an easy line to see in a spectrum, and it's used to identify U-238 wherever it's around.
Uh-huh.
Now, you need a fairly large amount of it in order to get a high radiation level, because the what we call the specific activity, or the radiation per unit volume or per unit mass, is low. But if you get enough of the stuff around, you can get a pretty high radiation background. And let me give you an example. When I was with a Navy laboratory in San Diego, we were making measurements on the USS Long Beach before it was decommissioned. And one of the places where we were inside just measuring background, we noticed a very high level of radiation, and we were under the magazine where the U-235 bullets were held in the Gatling gun type of weapon.
Right.
And so we went to the executive officer and said, hey, exec, you may have a serious problem on your hands. You got young kids working in there, because guys do get in under 18 in the Navy, and you might have a problem. They were moved instantly. So it is not harmless, even if you don't ingest it.
I got you. All right. Listen, thank you, Paul. I appreciate it.
If the other guys were pretty well right on everything else, though.
Okay. Got
all
it.
Right.
All right.
Bye.
That clears up, for me anyway, the radioactive part, because while I don't dispute anything the other experts have talked about tonight, I do believe, along with a lot of other lay people, that it does have this radioactive potential also. What is this? Oh, it was the Heaven's Gate crowd, and it was the Hale-Bopp comet. All these emails I got here: Heaven's Gate, Nike suicide.
Well, was it
the raw? Nike and purple shroud people, the comet people?
Raw or da or la di da or some the bald guy that
yeah it was
leader of the gang.
Yeah, he was da. You know, they don't look so crazy now, huh? Maybe.
Yeah, they do.
They do. Nike suicide. The guy's name was Doe. There you go. Doe.
I know it was one of those notes from the Sound of Music song.
Right.
A note to follow. So.
You're starting to max out on the topics we've been having on this program, too. I can tell.
I'm just waiting for Bill Nye, the science guy, to call in.
Okay. All right. All right. It is not. I understand what you're trying to do, and I appreciate it, Kathy. But the topic is so deadly. It is so unbelievably deadly that we have resorted to this type of weaponry, going all the way back to 1991. Was it 91? The invasion of Iraq the first time, and then Clinton's war NATO's war, but Clinton's insistence in the mid-90s, and now this. Marshall Applewhite, that was that freak's name. Ron is calling from Detroit. Ron, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on. Appreciate your patience.
Mike, believe it or not, despite all the discussion you've had on uranium, you haven't heard the worst, and you haven't heard it all. And given the fact that I had to learn a lot about it because I fought nukes locally here, I got to tell you, first of all, I'll get to something right now. The United Kingdom is already engaged in the cover-up. Their atmospheric sampling has already found uranium in the atmosphere coming down from the Middle East. over the through the wind. One guy talked about, maybe a couple guys talked about it, moving around the world. Well, it's not just moving around the world up there. It's already down. Now, the UK tried to cover that up, but nobody's buying it. Guess what? We've also got a problem here in the United States already. I saw a discussion at a health site that indicated that there has been an inexplicable and totally unexpected sharp rise in cancer rates in the United States, despite the fact that many of the other hazard factors have actually gone down, including smoking. It is suggested, not proven positively, but suggested that this is also the results of all those years' worth of depleted uranium and its daughter products. Now, one thing that nobody commented on in the entire discussion, including all those experts, was that uranium-238 is radioactive, but in the decay process, it also produces additional radioactive materials, which also decay until they finally get to a stable element.
Hey, hold on right there, Ron, because I got a break. I want you to pick it up right where we leave off here as soon as we come back from the break. This is Air America. Stay with us.
Step too close, you might catch it. Oh, don't step too close, baby.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
We'll be right back.
worry about anything here in Washington, D.C.
26 before the hour, we were talking with Ron in Detroit. All right, Ron, thanks for holding on.
Yes, as I was saying, Mike, as these radioactive materials decay, they produce yet more radioactive materials with a smaller atomic weight until they finally get to a stable point. This is why, for example, we have had, in the worst case scenarios, we've had soldiers come home so heavily contaminated with uranium inside their body that they have actually been exhaling radioactive gas, which has contaminated their families and the atmosphere in their homes.
Oh my God.
Another worst-case example that has been well-documented and can be found on the Internet is the example of a man who had such a concentration of uranium in his testes that when he had sex with his wife, her vagina was actually burned from the radiation concentrations in that semen. Yeah, that's how bad it can get. Now, it's worse than this. Although I've studied radiation over the years, I had never thought about forest fires, large fires, and other natural type phenomenon re-spreading radioactive material. I've already told you, depleted uranium and its daughter products, including radon, have already made it to the U.S. They certainly were measured in the U.K. where they tried to cover it up. I'm sure a cover-up is going on here too. But it's worse than that. Recently, they found that forest fires had redistributed some atomic bomb tests out west. Some of the cesium had been found over in Canada on very sensitive detectors. This means that natural phenomena like forest fires, like tornadoes, like large wind events, can redistribute this material over and over and over again, contaminating vast areas and lots of people. So if that isn't an incentive for people to get busy and going beyond merely talking and merely protesting, but getting on to a general strike, I don't know what could. But I want to explain something else, too. Yes, tungsten is a problem all by itself. Tungsten and any heavy metal actually mutates DNA. That is one that was recently discovered, and they found that when tungsten was exposed to mice recently, I believe it was practically 100% carcinogenicity. So substituting tungsten weapons is not going to be a solution, even though the military has recently announced it was seriously considering it. That will be a mistake.
All right, Ron, can you hold on a second while I open up one of my major arteries?
Well, no, there's no reason to bleed, Mike. What we need to do is get practical and have a general strike.
I know.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Really, all of this talk, you know, I listen to your program a lot, and I listen to other Air America programs, and what's missing is that despite the success of the French example and countless other examples, and even in Bolivia, where people have successfully used this, we still get people calling up on your program and whining, what can we do? Now, if you're not serious enough to do a general strike, then how serious really are you about all this stuff?
Well, you want to talk
about it?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you, Ron. We've talked about it over and over on this program. I've got to move on, but thanks for checking in. The only thing I can add as an addendum to that is, I'm ready to go tomorrow. We have had a couple of general strikes here in Atlanta. I think the last one we had 9 people. Right, Kathy? 9 of us showed up. General strike. Let's close down Atlanta. Okay, here we go. 9 people show up. I understand what you're saying, Ron. I understand. But you know what I think? I'm starting to think is I'm just afraid that there's not going to be. I don't know what it's going to take. Unless it's a full-scale nuclear exchange between country A and country B, whoever those countries are, and it doesn't even have to be an exchange. If the United States or Israel or North Korea or Pakistan or India uses a nuke on one of its supposed enemies, maybe that will do it. There will be hundreds of thousands of dead, hundreds of thousands dead immediately, and hundreds of thousands who will die subsequent to the nuclear bomb. But maybe that's what it's going to take. I don't know anymore. I honestly don't. I'm a talk show host. And an atheist, which puts me kind of low on the food chain. So I'm, but I did get this from Jeff. This is called Mother Ghoul Cemetery Rhymes. Oh, God, that's what we're coming down to. Mother Ghoul Cemetery Rhymes. Georgie Porgy, liar and spy, bombed all the children and made them die. Old Mother Rice lives in a shoe. She doesn't know what to say and doesn't know what to do. Olmert, Olmert, have you any wool? Long ago you planned this hurt. Does it make you drool? And then he writes, old Jeff is physically sickened by this, and he wants to beat them all with sticks and stones and clubs and depleted uranium and dot, dot, dot. Mike, if you hear my alarm clock ring, please wake me and all of us so this nightmare can end. Say hallelujah, brother. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm curious. I'm going to have to sit in front of the computer since we no longer have Air America here in Atlanta, because I don't know what my brethren and sistren are saying here on Air America Radio Network about all this. I have no idea because I can't. In order to hear this network, I have to sit in front of the computer all day.
We need XM satellite.
That's what we need.
We need to get a satellite radio.
Shouldn't we be able to get one free?
Or
we're on it. Can't we get it free? I mean, we don't get a damn thing free.
Think we ought to get it cheap.
We get nothing free. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. When I said goodbye to Janine the other night, I said, the next movie you're in, please send us some tickets. Air America doesn't pay us the way they pay the people in New York.
No free books.
Nothing.
No free tickets.
All right. We're starting to trip again. Let's get back to... Sharon is calling from Sacramento. Sharon, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on. Sharon in Sacramento. There she is. Hi, Sharon.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, Mike.
I heard it was 104 degrees in your city today?
2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's just been incredible, and humidity, too.
When I was out there, I was told, I was out there when the weather was beautiful, and I was told, in the summer, because you're at the north end of that Central Valley, in the summer, you guys just get hammered.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, I was there with you that night, Mike.
Oh, that's right. That's right, you were. All right.
Yes. So, and it was pretty warm for that time of the year too, but it was pleasant compared to today.
Oh, well,
or the last couple of weeks.
Hang in there.
I can tell you one thing that Randy was hitting on today was genocide. And what's happening in the Mideast is genocide. And what I'd like to relate that back to depleted uranium, to Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
This is a short quote of Paul Harvey, you know, the warm and fuzzy rest of the story guy.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah, he has a special affinity for horses, I've heard. But anyway, what did he do now?
This is a quote of that he broadcast on June 23rd of 2005,
yeah.
And it's quoted in the Progressive. We didn't come to this is him speaking, not me. We didn't come this far because we're made of sugar candy. Once upon a time, we elbowed our way onto and across this continent by giving smallpox infected blankets to Native Americans. That was biological warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And we used every other weapon we could get our hands on to grab this land from whomever, and we grew prosperous. And yes, we greased the skids with the sweat of slaves. He's bragging about it.
Yeah.
He's proud of that.
Yeah, I remember reading that. Somebody sent that to me back when he said it, and when I first saw it, I thought, okay, he's a right-wing freak, but surely he didn't say this. Turns out he did.
He's a barbarian. They're all barbarians.
Yeah.
They're horrible, awful, ugly, despicable people. And I'd just like to make one more point, and that's that ultimately we, the American people, and I realize that you and I are a small minority, maybe 25% of us,
mm-hmm.
that have been fighting this for, you know, some of them for much longer than I have and much more vigorously, but that ultimately if anybody's still alive, the American people will be judged just as the Germans mm-hmm. were judged for the Nazis. And it will be exactly the same thing. We did. They did not stop him, and we are not stopping these barbarians. They are not Americans. They're They're a gang of international criminals that are kind of based here in the United States.
But you know what, Sharon, that leaves me with the question, who is going to be the ones to convene the court? Don't forget, when the Nazis were put on trial, we still had moral leadership on this planet and in positions of power at the heads of governments. And I'm just wondering, we don't have that anymore. Is Putin, is Tony Blair, is George Bush, who is there left who has the moral authority or the ethical right to put on trial the Bush crime family or the leadership of Israel or anyone who is committing these crimes against humanity? That's the part that worries me. I have to leave it there. Thanks, Sharon. Thanks for checking in.
Take care.
All right. Try to stay cool. I remember when we used to say stay cool, and that was like, you know, stay cool. It had nothing to do with temperature. Now it has to do with survival, doesn't it? This is Air America.
Before they do unto you, praise the Lord and hit them hard. The devil must have his due. That's all the weapons of Uncle Sam. The smallpox, Indian blankets, the bombs that beat Japan. Bless the cops and prisons that make us free. This land was made for me, and the rest of the world.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. That's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the Internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL Ultra has an 8-year guarantee. The reason my warranties are so much stronger is that my American-made vacuums are so much stronger. Orrick XLs clean thousands of hotel rooms every day. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. You'll still be breaking in an Orrick while other vacuums are broken down.
Western world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating, but you tell me.
I spend a lot of time on Social Security.
Over and over again, my friend.
Overseas, there's a lot going on. I believe our actions have helped make the world a more peaceful place.
Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no...
Thanks to our New York staff, Justin Nguyen and Stan Stofiak, who engineered tonight. Thanks, guys. David Weissman, thank you, David, who handled the phone calls tonight. And also Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, Ben Birch, White Rose Society, Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, all men, except for Catherine Bay, who's our executive producer, and uses a sharp stick on everybody, right? Yeah, sure. Charles is calling from Connecticut. Charles, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, Mike. You
know, hey.
Jesus loves me. This I know, for the bombings tell me so.
You know, some of you people are getting really cynical.
Oh, I came up with that one when this first thing started because, you know, they keep on saying because it's in response to a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
Kidnapping is keep a lie, pick a lie, and keep it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no dispute anymore that the United States is doing genocide when it's 100 people a day. There are some villages in the world that are 100 people.
Yeah.
And just Google, you know, what is the definition of genocide? And one of them is systematic attempt to annihilate a racial group or nation.
Mm-hmm.
The word was first used in 1944. Does the date sound familiar?
Yeah,
God, I wonder what was happening then.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, the similarities are not similarities. It's exactly the same playbook. But the difference now between Adolf and George, and we have to give Adolf the apology, because while Adolf merely wanted to rule the world, George clearly wants to end it.
Yeah, that's very true.
And, you know, there's something clearly psychopathic when they have, I believe it was some guy running for the Senate, a Republican, Slate, and had lunch with seven reporters, decrying the Republican Party. And
oh, yeah, I read that. It's one of the blogs, I think, at MSNBC. And it's an unnamed senator who
yeah, and his staff outed him.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. And, you know, when I hear things like this from any...
Wait a minute. They said his name? Who is it?
I believe his last name is Slate.
Slate? Senator?
Yeah.
I don't think there is not a senator named Slate.
He's running for an office. I may have the name wrong.
Yeah, probably so, but that's immaterial. Go ahead.
Whenever, you know, this Republican, they'll say something... Like, I believe that the stem cell thing was done so as to give Republicans an advantage to say, oh, I'm not like George. I have some breathing room from him. I don't go with everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, you know, there is a record.
Yeah.
I think when they let out something like this, oh, there are some Republicans who are very dissatisfied, it comes to the point that if a wolf comes to the door, I'm just not going to believe you, and it's gotten to the point that if I even see the wolf chewing on my foot, I'm not going to believe it.
Yeah, I understand. I think a lot of Republicans are running as fast as they can away from George Bush, Republican office holders. The ones who are in solidly red districts or solidly red so-called states are not going to run from him, but people in states where... they might have won by 5 or 6 percentage points, or Bush might have won by 6 or 7 stolen percentage points. I think you're going to see almost a biblical exodus of people away from George Bush. But you're right, there is a record, and the Republican Party and the conservatives are utterly and absolutely guilty. And every one of these sons of bitches, I don't care how fast they run in the opposite direction, they are absolutely guilty of what they have done to this country and this world. When I think back, as much as I had some problems with Bill Clinton, when I think back to what he handed off, I know he was a corporate thug like all of them. Let's not even go there. But what he handed off to George Bush was a hell of a lot better than what this evil, evil man has handed off to the American public here 5 years later. Well, hey, listen, I have to leave it there. Charles, thank you. I appreciate you checking in.
I just want to say to everybody out there who's emailing me offering us XM radios, actually, that's very sweet. But Mike and I are probably going to be buying a minivan, and hopefully it'll come built in, and then we'll just have to pay the subscription. So thank you, everyone who's offering to buy us XM radios. That's awfully sweet, but we'll manage somehow.
That is, if there's a hybrid minivan when we finally get to the... But we're waiting to the end of the year sale where...
Isn't that awful? Why haven't they made a hybrid minivan? And isn't it terrible that you and I have become such soccer parents that we have to have a minivan for a freaking toddler that doesn't have any gear? I mean, this is tragic. It really is so middle America.
Yeah, I always thought that when I hit my 60s, I would not be thinking about a minivan. I would be thinking about a Corvette. Like most freaked out 60-year-old men get, you know. But no.
Well, I brought you out of retirement, Grandpa Daddy.
But no, a minivan. Thanks for participating tonight, folks. We do appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow night. Do we have a guest tomorrow night?
We do, and please don't embarrass me. It's someone running for Congress named Sean, and I'm sorry.
In Florida. All right. Well, we'll have all the information tomorrow. Again, thanks for participating tonight. I do appreciate it. Take care, okay? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
What's more important to you, a better-looking vacuum or a cleaner, healthier home? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL may not win any beauty contests, but it wins rave reviews from owners of those dust-spewing bagless clunkers. Once they try an Orrick XL, they love it. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200 and take a risk-free trial of the vacuum that won't send a cloud of dust in your face.